Welcome back to the Divine Office. I'm so glad that I made it here today on this incredibly busy day for me. So we're here a bit later than normal. It's getting on toward night, but that's okay. We can celebrate the Office of Readings, which I chose because I have something extra special at the very end after the Office. And Lord, open my lips and my mouth will proclaim your praise. Brings us to the invitatory, because despite this being 6:30, in my afternoon, or whatever time it is for you, this is still the beginning of our office for the day. Come, let us worship the Lord, the King who is to come, is the antiphon for this invitatory. There are always three options, or actually four options. Psalm 95, which is considered like the most common. Psalm 100, and Psalm 67, and Psalm 24, which I also really like for the invitatory. Let us pick the standard one. Psalm 95. Come, let us sing to the Lord and shout with joy to the rock who saves us. Let us approach him with praise and thanksgiving and sing joyful songs to the Lord. Come, let us worship the Lord, the King who is to come. The Lord is God, the mighty God, the great King over all the gods. He holds in his hands the depths of the earth and the highest mountains as well. He made the sea, it belongs to him. The dry land too, for it was formed by his hands. Come, let us worship the Lord, the King who is to come. Come then, let us bow down and worship, bending the knee before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are his people, the flock, his shepherds. Come, let us worship the Lord, the King who is to come. Today, listen to the voice of the Lord. Do not grow stubborn as your fathers did in the wilderness, when at Meribah and Menizah they challenged me and provoked me, although they had seen all of my works. Come, let us worship the Lord, the King who is to come. 40 years I endured that generation. I said, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they do not know my ways. So I swore in my anger, they shall not enter into my rest. Come, let us worship the Lord, the King who is to come. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Come, let us worship the Lord, the King who is to come. And again, the invitatory is not so much a matter of recollection or meditation, but it's a matter of snapping ourselves out of daily life. The hymn is the next part of our prayers from the Divine Office book. It's also a song. You could call it a song. On Jordan's bank, the Baptist's cry announces that the Lord is nigh. Awaken and hearken, for he brings glad tidings of the King of Kings. Then cleansed of every heart from sin, make straight the way of God within. Oh, let us all our hearts prepare for Christ to come and enter there. For you are man's salvation, Lord, our refuge and our great reward. Once more upon your people shine, and fill the world with love divine. To God the Son all glory be, whose advent set all nations free, whom with the Father we adore, and the Holy Spirit evermore. And to begin with, we're going to take our psalms for the office of readings with their antiphons. So we're going to pray. The word of the Lord is a strong shield for all who put their trust in him. Psalm 18. 31 through 51, a hymn of thanksgiving. If God is on our side, who can be against us? Romans 8:31 is our sentence from scripture or tradition that helps us interpret the psalm in light of the New Testament. As for God, his ways are perfect, the word of the Lord purest gold. He indeed is the shield of all who make him their refuge. For who is God but the Lord? Who is a rock but our God? The God who girds me with strength and makes the path safe before me. Your feet have made swift, you have made swift as the deer's. You have made me stand firm on the heights. You have trained my hands for battle and my arms to bend the heavy bow. Glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The word of the Lord is a strong shield for all who put their trust in him. Antiphon 2, and we continue praying that same psalm. Your strong right hand has upheld me, Lord. You gave me your saving shield. You upheld me, trained me with care. You gave me freedom for my steps. My feet have never slipped. I pursued and overtook my foes, never turning back till they were slain. I smote them so they could not rise. They fell beneath my feet. You girded me with strength for battle. You made my enemies fall beneath me. You made my foes take flight. Those who hated me I destroyed. They cried, but there was no one to save them. They cried to the Lord, but in vain. I crushed them fine as dust before the wind, trod them down like dirt in the streets. You saved me from the feuds of the people and put me at the head of the nations. People unknown to me served me. When they heard of me, they obeyed me. Foreign nations came to me cringing. Foreign nations faded away. They came trembling out of their strongholds. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Your strong right hand has upheld me, Lord. Antiphon 3. May the living God, my Savior, be praised forever. Long life to the Lord, my rock. Praised be the God who saves me, the God who gives me redress and subdues people under me. You saved me from my furious foes. You set me above my assailants. You saved me from violent men. So I will praise you, Lord, among the nations. I will sing a psalm to your name. He has given great victories to his king and has shown his love for his anointed, for David and his sons forever. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Lord God, you who once led David out into the battlefield and made him victorious, now we wage a spiritual battle against powers and principalities that touches every element of our life, of our politics, of our culture, and of our families, and of our friends and relatives and family members. Once again, be a rock of refuge for us, our source of wisdom and our immovable strength. Make us love, grow in love for you and a perfect love that reaches our neighbor. Glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. May the living God, my Savior, be praised forever. So now we begin the part of the office of readings where we have the verse introducing the lesson. Today it is, hear the word of the Lord, all you nations. Proclaim it to the ends of the earth. Our first reading is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 16, verses 1 through 5, and chapter 17, verses 4 through 8. Zion, refuge of the Moabites, the conversion of Ephraim. Send them forth, hugging the earth like reptiles, from Selah, across the desert, to the mount of daughter Zion, like flushed birds, like startled nestlings, are the daughters of Moab at the fords of the Arnon. Offer counsel, take their part. At high noon, let your shadow be like the night, to hide the outcasts, to conceal the fugitives. Let the outcasts of Moab live with you, be their shelter from the destroyer. When the struggle is ended, the ruin complete, and they have done with trampling the land, a throne shall be set up in fidelity, and on it shall sit in fidelity in David's tent, a judge upholding right and prompt to do good, to do justice. On that day, the glory of Jacob shall fade, and his full body grow thin. Like the reapers, mere armfuls of stalks, when he gathers the standing grain, or as when one gleans the ears in the valley of Rephaim, only a scattering of grapes shall be left. And when an olive tree has been beaten, two or three olives remain at the very top, four or five on its fruitful branches, says the Lord, the God of Israel. On that day, man shall look to his Maker, his eyes turned toward the Holy One of Israel. He shall not look to the altar as his handiwork, nor shall he regard what his fingers have made. The sacred poles or the incense stand, responsory prayer. I shall raise up an heir for David, one who is just. He will make fair judgments prevail on earth, and this is the name they will give him. The Lord is our righteousness. A throne of mercy will be set up. There a true judge will sit, one who seeks justice and is swift to do right. And this is the name they will give him. The Lord is our righteousness. And we have a great second reading from the tradition of the church. Our second reading is drawn from a commentary on the Dicasteron by St. Ephrem, the great Eastern Orthodox deacon before the schism. So anyway, this is a beautiful thing to thank God for this office, and let's go on with the reading. Keep watch, he is to come again. To prevent his disciples from asking the time of his coming, Christ said, "About that hour, no one knows, neither the angels nor the Son. It is not for you to know times or moments. He has kept those things hidden so that we may keep watch, each of us thinking that he will come in our own day. If he had revealed the time of his coming would have lost its savor. It would no longer be the object of yearning for the nations and the age in which it will be revealed. He promised that he would come, but did not say when he would come, and so all generations and ages await him eagerly. Though the Lord has established the signs of his coming, the time of their fulfillment has not been plainly revealed. These signs have come and gone with a multiplicity of change. More than that, they are still present. His final coming is like his first, as holy men and prophets waited for him, thinking that he would reveal himself in their own day. So today, each of the faithful longs to welcome him in his own day, because Christ has not made plain the day of his coming. He has not made it plain for this reason especially, that no one may think that he whose power and dominion rule all numbers and times is ruled by fate and time. He described the signs of his coming. How could what he has himself decided be hidden from him? Therefore he used these words to increase respect for the signs of his coming, so that from that day forward all generations and ages might think that he would come again in their own day. Keep watch. When the body is asleep, nature takes control of us, and what is not done by our own will, but by force, by the impulse of nature. When deep listlessness takes possession of the soul, for example, faint-heartedness or melancholy, the enemy prevails over it and makes it do what it does not will. The force of nature, the enemy of the soul, is in control. When the Lord commanded us to be vigilant, he meant vigilance in both parts of man, in the body against the tendency to sleep, and in the soul against lethargy and timidity. As Scripture says, "Wake up, you just, and I have risen, and I am still with you, and again, do not lose heart." Therefore, having this ministry, we do not lose heart. Responsory prayer to the second reading from the tradition. I shall make you an everlasting covenant. I shall send the promise given in mercy to David. I have set him as a witness to the peoples, as leader and teacher of all nations. This saving act of God is for all nations, and they will heed it. I have set him as a witness to the peoples, as leader and teacher of all nations. Father, we need your help. Free us from sin and bring us to life. Support us by your power. Grant this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. In response, amen. And that, with that, we have, let us praise the Lord and give him thanks. And that's the end of the office of readings proper. So, first off, I wanted to give a little shout out to my dad. You know, without him, without his guidance, and without his inspiration, I would never have started the Divine Office ministry. I probably wouldn't have really even meditated on the readings in the office that I even as devoted as I was to some parts of the office. But look, we're here, you know, 14 months into this ministry, about a month into this audio version of it, and it's just amazing to see the fruits for myself and others from this prayer group. Now, let's teach you a little something that I found extremely valuable. Many people have heard that Catholics have a special method of praying with Scripture, but it always sounds so complicated and so difficult. You know, I went to a catechist school class, and one of our spiritual formation classes was actually all about this process, and it explained it, it broke it down. This is a good thing for you, too, to do, at least for Advent, at least for this next week, to try this and see if you can benefit and have it have this transformative impact on how you converse with God, on how you understand God, about how you learn the Word of God. So the process is called Lectio Divina, but don't give up yet if you've tried this before, because we can make it, we can modify it slightly, or we can realize that it's meant to be a living process rather than a technique. So it's meant to be a process of you listening to God and learning to converse with God, rather than a rigid set of steps that has to be done for a certain amount of time, which I think is one of the things that hung me up early on. So today I will show you what I had meditated and prayed with privately from Luke's Gospel. Process requires us to look at the passage twice. So this is the passage. It's Luke chapter 11, verses 33 through 54. No one who lights a lamp hides it away or places it under a bushel basket, but on a lampstand, so that those who enter might see the light. The lamp of the body is your eye. When your eye is sound, then your whole body is filled with light. But when it is bad, then your body is in darkness. Take care, then, that the light in you not become darkness. If your whole body is full of light, and no part of it is in darkness, then it will be as full of light as a lamp illuminating you with its brightness. After he had spoken, a Pharisee invited him to dine at his home. He entered and reclined at table to eat. The Pharisee was amazed to see that he did not observe the prescribed washing before the meal. The Lord said to him, O you Pharisees, although you cleanse the outside of the cup and the dish, inside you are filled with plunder and evil. You fools, did not the maker of the outside also make the inside? But as to what is within, give alms, and behold, everything will be clean for you. Woe to the Pharisees! You pay tithes of mint and of rue and of every garden herb, but you pay no attention to judgment and to love for God. These you should have done without overlooking the others. Woe to you, Pharisees! You love the seats of honor in synagogues, the seat of honor in synagogues, and greetings in marketplaces. Woe to you! You are like unseen graves over which people unknowingly walk. Then one of the scholars of the law said to him in reply, Teacher, by saying this, you are insulting us too. And he said, Woe also to you, scholars of the law. You impose on people burdens hard to carry, but you yourselves do not lift one finger to touch them. Woe to you, you build the memorials of the prophets whom your ancestors killed. Consequently, you bear witness and give consent to the deeds of your ancestors, for they killed them and you do the building. Therefore, the wisdom of God said, I will send them prophets and apostles. Some of them they will kill and persecute, in order that this generation might be charged with the blood of all the prophets shed since the foundation of the world, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who died between the altar and the temple building. Yes, I tell you, this generation will be charged with their blood. Woe to you, scholars of the law! You have taken away the key of knowledge. You yourselves did not enter, and you stopped those trying to enter. When he left, the scribes and Pharisees began to act with hostility toward him and to interrogate him about many things, for they were plotting to catch him at something he might say. As I said, it requires us to look at it twice, so you can do that silently, or I could read it. If we were in a group, I might read it out loud. But Lectio wants to facilitate an attentive listening to God's word. We want to create time and attention and space inside of ourselves so that God can connect with us in our spirit. Now, the first two steps, the reading and the retelling, are directed at our understanding first and foremost. And we were taught, just say a few sentences, summarize and retell, just in a few sentences, kind of the action that happened in this. So that's the first two steps. In the passage, something happened, try to understand it. And then you retell a few sentences back about it. Now, as we reflect on what's actually going on, we want to be able to have space in order to bring our prayer to God. So we want to bring our own experiences into it somewhat. For example, this goes beyond understanding that the Pharisees did this and that wrong in that time, to considering, okay, what is the Lord expecting me to do differently from them? And in what ways do I ask myself the hard questions about the ways in which I might slip into patterns like that too? And this is the moment where you usually take a couple of minutes just to be quiet and to really consider how that might, maybe to reread it again. You actually can read it all four steps. But hopefully by the end of the third step, you're starting to get a sense of something's going on within you. Something's really going on within you that's not normally there when we're just reading this, even for comprehension, even though this is good for your comprehension and education. As a catechist, this is a good thing for you, a good way to learn scripture as well. But it's not primarily to learn scripture, it's primarily so that we can dialogue with God and listen to God through scripture. So there'll be thoughts, perhaps memories coming to you. Or perhaps you just have a general sense of something that you'd like to say, and this can become, you know, for me, I had to consider, as I said, that I have a tendency toward certain types of excessive self-focus in that same area. I have to consider what ways in which perhaps I might slide back toward being more like the Pharisees. And there's just all kinds of things you can do, just short little personal heart-to-heart prayer is the third step. And then, again, hopefully something has happened interiorly. Not every time will something happen that you can note, but every time you encounter God's Word, you learn something valuable, you get a way of quieting yourself and bringing your spirit into dialogue with God. And sometimes you actually do receive something powerful that you feel like God spoke into your heart. So if you feel like you've come to a deeper understanding, or you feel like you received that kind of message or something God spoke into your heart, the last step is just to rejoice in that, to rest in that, maybe to journal about that if that helps, to ask for forgiveness if that's what you're being called to do something like that. So those are the four steps. Read, retell, reflect, and resting in God. So again, these things get very personal. They're primarily meant to be a form of personal prayer. I'd recommend you try this for a couple of days during Advent. Just try it and see whether or not it works. Because, again, the first time I did this when I was in the catechist school class, it was amazing. I had never really thought about scripture in that deep of a way. And I'd never gotten things back from it like that. Or at least not in this year. Let's put it, within the time of memory that I remember doing this types of stuff, I hadn't had that type of a powerful experience of listening to God and making God's Word personal to me. So again, this is very traditional. It's the way the saints have traditionally prayed and taught us to pray. So it's a very Catholic thing. It's called Lectio Divina. Next time, I'm sure that we will continue journeying through Advent together. I hope you have a blessed and wonderful rest of your day. Let's conclude with an Our Father and Hail Mary for the Pope's monthly intentions. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Spread the effect of grace as an insert that you can put of thy flame of love over all of humanity, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. I guess I pray that with the prayer group so much I get used to the insert. Sorry about that. Have a blessed rest of your day.